Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. Today, I'm super excited to introduce another person that I met at the Aero Workshop. Her name is Claudia from Claudia's Mesa, and she has just an incredible cooking business in Bozeman, Montana. She was one of the very first, when I got there on Friday night, she taught us how to make this delicious lentil salad that was so good. We all had it in our dinner and we got to taste it. And she's going to tell us a little bit about that and her spices and what she does with her business in Montana and traveling and her new cookbook that's going to come out soon and some other things, I'm sure. So welcome to the show, Claudia.
Thank you, Jackie. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're super excited to have you. I know my listeners like to learn about cooking the food. We talk a lot about growing food in our gardens, and I know people are excited to hear about things that they can make from the stuff that they get at their CSA or at their farmer's market or at the, you know, organic section. So why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background before we get too much into the cooking?
Sure. I was born and raised in Colombia, South America, in the Caribbean, Northern Caribbean coast. So if you picture where Cuba and Jamaica is, the next body of land would be the Caribbean, Colombian coast in a city named Barranquilla. And I came to the United States in 1974 to go to college. I studied sociology and international relations. I never had any inkling about cooking except the fact that I love to cook for my college friends and I love to eat. In college, I met Steve, my now husband of 37 years, and we moved to Montana in 1998 in pursuit of a change of life and a better place to raise our then 8-year-old daughter. When we first moved here to Montana, one of the last things that I did in Miami, actually, I worked at a hotel for 10 years, but I was not a cook. I wasn't a chef. I was actually in human resources. I was a corporate trainer, but I spent a lot of the time in the kitchen. But my daughter took 10 years in the making. I wanted to have a baby and get pregnant, and nothing happened. So when she finally came 10 years later, it was just hard for me to go back full-time to work. So I had brought in a nutritionist to the hotel because we offered free food for all of our employees. We had about 1,500 employees. We had 650 sleeping rooms. And we had an incredible employees cafeteria, but the food was free. So people started to gain weight, and all the new employees just, I could see that. So we brought in a nutritionist. And we had her take a look at the food that we were eating and come up with different ideas on options so that we could eat healthier, leaner food. And she did that. And after Gabby was born, I thought it would be fun to work with Carol. And Carol had a group of patients ranging from weight management all the way to cancer patients and diabetics, etc. And she pretty much assisted them through the help of good nutrition and, of course, vitamins, etc. So I cooked in a little restaurant in a part of Miami called Coral Gables underneath her office. The restaurant was only open for dinner, and I was there in the mornings, and I would bring my little basket with me with Gabby in it. And I started cooking there, and she would sell the meals to her clients in her office. Sort of like a homemade version of a Lean Cuisine with all natural ingredients. I can't remember if the term organic was a keyword at that time, but I knew that everything that I got, I would get from places like Whole Foods, etc. So we pretty knew that we were serving healthy food. I just don't honestly remember certain words. soon after, I decided that maybe it was time to run my own show. So we moved from Miami after a hurricane. We moved further north to a suburb of Miami. And I started cooking for various clients, and I pretty much the concept of a personal chef. So I had clients that lived in, you know, Miami is full of subdivisions. So it was in a subdivision, a gated subdivision. That's where a lot of them are. And I had clients with the same needs. They had a little newspaper and I advertised in it. And I had about four or five people that I cooked for. And I would just go to them as well. So that was the last thing I was doing before we moved here. In 1998, when we moved here, there was just one private chef that I became friendly with, and she struggled because it was very hard to charge the fees that we needed in order for us to justify the time spent and, you know, the materials and shopping, etc. So that didn't work out for me, and I ended up going to a flooring store because we needed new carpet. And I ended up staying there, and I still work there on a part-time basis. So it's been 15 years working at this company. And it's fabulous because I think if you cook, you can also design. I don't know. I think if you can make a plate beautiful, you can also make a home beautiful as well. It's all about textures and colors and accents, etc., that I find analogies in cooking. But 2008, the economy started, you know, we all my accounts, we were dipping, and construction ceased, and I thought that maybe it was an opportunity for me to change hats and put my toque back on and see if I can continue doing my food business. But one of the things that I started was in the construction world, in order for me to get new builders, you go to a job site, you see, you know, 2x4s going up, and you know there's a new house or a new business coming, and you approach it and you find out who the builder is, who they're doing business, and you usually take a treat or something to enchant them. And my manager had suggested that I take donuts, and honestly, I never in my life eat donuts. My husband does, but I don't. And I said, no, I have to take something that they'll remember me by, and something that is part of me. And I have this incredible salsa that unfortunately I did not bring to the Arrow Conference, but it's really not a salsa. We don't eat salsas and chips in Colombia like the Mexicans would eat the salsa and the chips, but we put it more atop of steaks or eggs or on top of things.
I put salsa on everything.
Right. Yeah, we do call them salsas. We just you know, yeah, it's just like the tomato salsa that you use for other things besides the chips. But I did bring it with a bag of chips, and it's a very cilantro-based product, and it's absolutely delicious with jalapenos and rice vinegar and garlic. And I did that since 2000. I was bringing them my salsas and my chips. And all of these guys would say, you need to package this, and you need to package this. And, you know, I had already too much on my plate. Mm-hmm. But as 2007 to 2008 rolled in, and my accounts were thinning, and people were not building, I went and I got a manufacturer's license, and I started taking it to grocery stores, local grocery stores, like we have here, Town and Country and the Co-op, and a couple little gourmet stores as well. And then we had this wonderful oil and vinegar store open here, and they had just opened, and they said that they were going to start cooking classes. So I asked them that I would love to teach cooking classes. I enjoy showing people what I know, and health has always been part of my life since I was a little girl. So I taught cooking classes there for 5 years. And I specialize, of course, in Latin American and Caribbean cuisine and also farm to table. When we started with the farm to table here in Bozeman, which, gosh, when was it? Maybe it was like 2006. Unfortunately, it wasn't sooner than that. So I started going to farmers market and selling my products there as well. And then the original farm-to-table concept and farm dinners did not begin here until 2012, when we started going to farms and cooking there on the farms. So eventually I started phasing out of my flooring life, and today I only work there 20 hours a week, mainly because they're like family, and you know, you never leave your family. There's a job there for me. I love them and they care about me as well. So I continue there, and it's kind of nice to have a paycheck that that we can trust on. And one of the things I learned from living in Montana is that a lot of us here need two jobs to make ends meet, right?
Absolutely. At least two. So you got to be flexible, able to do anything.
Right. So I think I am a true Montana now. You know, I got my two jobs.
I'll say. And if you could move from Columbia to Montana, that says a lot just right there.
Right.
You've been here all these years.
I love it here. This is a most beautiful, wondrous place. And like I mentioned in the cooking demo that you attended, was that one of the things that I enjoy doing is I don't like putting my culture and my traditions on people's faces and trying to change how people are, unless you're curious to learn. Just like I am curious to learn about other cultures, I enjoy when other cultures are interested in mine and I can share. But it was very hard to find ingredients that were similar to tropical and subtropical countries like mine. Miami was easy because it's right there in the Caribbean. But Montana was pretty tough. So I looked into finding similar flavors that I could cross over, because I strongly believe, since I was a little girl, on supporting the farmers, whether they were the Colombian farmers or the migrant farmers in Miami. We had a place called Homestead, and there were a lot of migrant farmers there in the orange groves, or regular farmers these days in Florida. I believe in supporting, and there's nothing more delicious than what is grown in the farms. Mm-hmm. Though sometimes, because of convenience, we go to a grocery store, etc. But so I said, well, what can I do? What can I? I made a list of my favorite foods, like plantains and rice and black beans and white beans. I mean, you name it. I love beans. I love pulses, because I come from a developing country and it is such an economic and nutritious staple for so many people in the world.
Wait, do you want to tell listeners really quick what pulses are? Because I didn't know what they were.
Pulses are legumes, and they come in a pod, such as lentils and fava beans and black beans and chickpeas and navy beans and black-eyed peas and split peas, and they're pulses. And I don't know where the name derives. In Spanish, we call them legumbres, which is legumes. Am I pronouncing that right? Legumes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
But I have no idea why the word pulses. That would be an interesting research. So I went to, I was looking at things that we ate there that I could cross over to here. We eat meat, beans, and rice, and plantains, and there's this tubular called yuca, which I love, and you don't grow it here in the United States. I I don't know why. I have a feeling it could grow here. It's kind of like a mountainous food, very similar to manioc. It's also called cassava. And tapioca flour comes from it. So I don't know exactly where tapioca comes from, for example. So I made my list of all these different ingredients, and then I started crossing over. For example, plantains, I crossed over to butternut squash. We've got butternut squash actually grows in certain parts of Missoula, the Flathead area. And then I was investigating your site when you sent me the link, and I actually had no idea that I could get sweet potatoes from Billings, because one of your gardeners, growers, does it. So it's one of my favorite substitutes for plantains are sweet potatoes or yams. We do grow beans here in Montana. We grow pinto beans and we grow black beans. And they're not organic certified, but they're grown. It's very expensive for a lot of these farmers to certify their produce or, you know, their legumes as organic. So I respect them and I eat them and I create recipes around them. And I know I get them from a local online market called Market Day Food. But when I went to the grocery store here, I found a beautiful collection of lentils. And it took me back to my childhood when I was in the patio helping. We had a family cook there, and I would help her clean the rice and the lentils. And I sat in this bed, and our garden had a guava tree, which had a beautiful fragrant blossoms. And, you know, you had like a lime and a papaya tree. And she would tell me stories about, you know, mermaids and pirates and all these things. And I would get all the pebbles and everything that were in the rice and the lentils. I remember I couldn't figure out why our rice and our lentils had pebbles and rocks and all of that. So we ate what you call here green lentils. And I found out that here in Montana we had this all these colors of lentils. We had orange ones, and we had yellow ones, and we had green ones. And then there were these little tiny round ones that are called the belugas, and I just fell in love with those little guys. So that made me feel really well that I could eat a lot of lentils here. And then I discovered that these growers also have these beautiful black chickpeas. We eat a lot of chickpeas. We have a lot of people from Israel and, you know, old countries, Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, living in South America. So I eat a lot of Mediterranean food and plant-based protein like them. And looking through the package, I found out that this product came from Conrad, Montana. So I looked Timeless Food on Facebook because I have a Facebook page. And I found them, and I started becoming friends, Facebook friends, with David Owen, who is one of the founders and farmer of Timeless Food. And I started sharing my recipes, and he just found them very exotic. And we met in person last year. He came over with a wonderful woman named Mary Henley, who brings rice from the Philippines, and she helps the female rice farmers and pickers from the terraces in the Philippines. And she uses Timeless processing plants to clean the rice and package it and sell it to gourmet stores like Williams-Sonoma and the Luca, and then with that money she sends back to the Philippines to help these female farmers. So but I also found farro, which is an ancient grain that is very high in protein, and it resembles rice. So When I want to create a meal using 100% Montana ingredients, I make believe that they taste like them, so, you know, they taste similar, but, you know, they're not identical. But I feel great that I am supporting the farmers here. And mm-hmm. we have a cookbook. Unfortunately, the cookbook is not coming out as sooner as desired because the cookbook world is a very competitive world, and I am an unknown person. I am not in Food Network. I am not in the Cooking Channel. I am not in PBS. And these people want to make sure that if they invest money in me, that somebody's going to buy the book, right?
Right.
And it doesn't end up it being a $4.99 book in Amazon or Barnes & Noble or, you know, whatever. So I do have an agent. I met this wonderful young woman from Missoula that I imagine you also met. Her name is Liz Carlisle. Mm-hmm. And Liz Carlisle was a country singer as well, and she traveled around the country singing country music, which talks a lot about the land and the farmers, and she became very disillusioned when she started seeing that a lot of these farms and farmers were losing to agribusiness and chemical fertilizers, etc. So she joined, she came back home after she did an internship with John Tester, and she decided she wanted to write her PhD dissertation on the Montana lentil growers and these four renegade farmers who told the government, no, we're not going to grow your soy, we're not going to grow your wheat, we are going to grow lentils. And anyway, that's what the book is about. They thought they were crazy. The bank didn't lend them money. So Liz writes this wonderful story about all of these four original farmers, their challenges and victories, and the new wave of younger farmers that have gone under the Timeless umbrella, and they're growing pulses and ancient grains with them and for them. So through Liz, who is a great storyteller, and she is probably one of the warmest persons I've ever met in my life, and so talented, and, well, whatever I can say is just not enough. She told her agent from this company in New York City called Dyster and Goderich Literary Management. Her name is Jessica Poppin. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, or Poppin. And Jessica read my proposal, and she said, I'll represent you. This sounds wonderful. But everywhere she went to, my proposal got turned down. And one of the main reasons is that I'm not famous enough. So she sent me on a mission of creating a platform for me so that people in California that I've met at the Heirloom Festival, and they did my cooking demo. Did they ever see a book on a bookshelf? They said, oh, that was the woman who made that delicious lentil tabbouleh that we had. People in Miami that I know, so that I can create a platform. So that's what I've been doing. And
today you're on the Organic Gardener podcast, getting your word out.
I know. So listen to that. And we will put the link everywhere so that others can hear it, right? But that people need to know that. So I really, really appreciate you, Jack, that cool. You can help me spread the word.
Yeah,
so, that is
so
what
tell
I'm
us.
Doing now. I also received the grant from Sarah Calhoun and the Renaissance Foundation.
Oh, excellent.
So that I could go and spread the word to Montana rural community about lentils, because we are the number one grower of organic lentils and non-organic lentils in the country, yet a lot of people in Montana born in Montana that even grow the lentils have never really tasted them. So the foundation has given me money so that I could travel, and I have traveling money and printing money so that I can do demos and prepare some delicious recipes and show people from Montana, look what you're growing. Look, these beautiful little things are the number one grower in the United States. You need to taste them. And if at all possible, at least eat them once a month, because the average American, I forget what the stats are, but I think our consumption of lentil is only a quarter of a cup a year, right? Which is mm-hmm. nothing compared to how much beef we eat and everything else. So if we increase our lentil consumption by at least one cup of lentils a month, a delicious lentil soup or a stew, or my goodness, I have so many things that I've created with lentils. Then number one, we are going to be so much healthier if we give up meat once a week would be ideal. And then look how much we can support the growers as well. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, didn't you say something? Was that you or somebody said something about meatless Mondays, coming up with a meatless Mondays in your house? And that lentils were a good food for that. And I was surprised, like, didn't they say it was something like 12 or 13 grams of protein in just a quarter of a cup in a serving?
Yes. The little lentils dried, a quarter cup has 12 grams of protein. And I like to combine them with a farro, and a quarter of farro has 9. So if you cook a quarter and a quarter equals to half, you will have a cup. Because, you know, it expands into like a cup, and you'll have 19 grams, which are almost, you know, like chicken or beef or whatever. And I have a really wonderful recipe for a lentil marinara. Mm-hmm. So you could put it over pasta, you could make a lasagna with it, and, you can start introducing your kids to it. You know what kids are? They like tomato sauce, they like cheese, and they like a macaroni. So if you make a beautiful macaroni and cheese with a lentil marinara, you are doing something big for them and, introducing them to a wondrous food staple.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to try that with my husband because he loves macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And I bought some of those lentils and I haven't even started to cook them yet because I'm still trying to process all my vegetables, although they would go good with them. And there was like a lentil chili recipe, right?
Yeah,
lentil with sporting season coming up, lentil chili.
Yeah, and also, if you have zucchini or squash, you could cut them lengthwise and remove the pulp and the seed and mash it up with lentils and tomato sauce and cheese and then bake them. They're delicious.
Ooh, I'm going to try that maybe tonight. That sounds good.
Yes.
Are you going to tell us about your spices? What about the cowgirl spice that you had there? Because that was so good. I love the way you mix like the citrus in with it.
Yes, being I cook so much, I find that it's really hard for me to spread all the different little containers I have of spices. So I created like 6 different varieties to use with different types of food. And I decided, heck, I want to share it, so I need to sell it. And I created what is called the Men and Women at Work, and it's honoring the cowboys and cowgirls of America, for example. And the ones that went into the Timeless Farmer's Bowl with the citrusy cowgirl vinaigrette pretty much is dried tarragon, dried dill, dried basil, orange peel, brown sugar, or you can use honey. Let's see what else. And sesame seeds and a little, sea salt. So you take like a tablespoon. I wanted to make it simple for people to do themselves and for me as well. So I said, okay, let's just take a tablespoon of each of these ingredients, put them in a little mason jar, and then, you know, to that add 2 tablespoons of sea salt, and then shake it up, and then give it a name, and, you know, use it. Use it for this, use it for that. So that was cowgirl. And then I came up with the last one because I make tamales here, and I get some local pork out of a distributor that gets them from the Butte area. And for the pork tamales, they are not authentic. I invented this recipe. So what I did was I took a tablespoon of cinnamon, tablespoon of Madras curry, which is the yellow one, a tablespoon of chili powder. I like the Hatch, Northwest Hatch. Tablespoon of, did I say cinnamon? Cinnamon, and a tablespoon of semi-sweet chocolate for baking. And then I do a tablespoon of dried cilantro. Sometimes I don't use all the 16. Sometimes I just use 5 or 4 or whatever. And then to that, of course, I'll add my 2 tablespoons of sea salt. So that goes really beautiful on chilies, for example. And when I make my tamales, and if you're vegetarian, forget the pork, but you could take just some crushed tomatoes, and then you do the 6 seeds or the 5 seeds, and then I still take a stick of cinnamon. And then we have a brewery here called Bridger Brewing Company. And they have a beer called Ghost Town, which uses coffee. And so I rub that a little bit on pork shoulder. And then I put that tomato sauce. And then I do anchovies. And then I pour the beer. And then I cook that for about 8 hours at 200. You could, if you're a vegetarian, skip all of that. And instead of using meat, you could use like eggplant or beans. You know, you could do that same recipe with hearty produce and legumes as well.
Oh, I might try that too, because I'm just inundated with eggplants all of a sudden this week. We harvested all our eggplants, and there were just so many of them hiding under there. I didn't realize, and I have like, I don't know, probably 25 or 30 small or medium-sized eggplants, kind of like the longer, narrow ones.
Oh, so I love all of it. Those are nice. Those are nice. Are those the Japanese ones?
I don't know.
Well,
they might be.
So one of the chocolate and eggplants go beautiful together. It's just amazing how, a lot of Middle Eastern / Mediterranean recipes uses a lot of cinnamon, and chocolate is actually like African. So they eat a lot of stewy eggplants, like over rice or couscous or, you know, even quinoa. If you're a quinoa person, you can make some delicious stews and then just put those 6 seeds or 5 seeds in it, with some tomatoes, and it'll be very aromatic and delicious.
All right. Oh, that sounds perfect. You have solved my eggplant
talking.
Problem.
It's already, I've been talking for 37 minutes, yes.
I know, it goes fast. That's what I said. I was like, it all kind of depends on you and how long you keep talking for. So, but look at all the great things you've taught us.
Yeah, ask me any questions now that you know, I was talking about food.
I'm good with everything you said. You should tell people like how to get in touch with you, like how to find your website.
Yes, I am creating, I'm redoing my website as per a marketing friend. She has given me some advice. So, It still looks great, but it's going to be better. But if you visit my website, make sure you go to my blog. And in my blog, that's where I have my recipes. They're in the blog right now. One of the ideas that my marketing person is saying is to put my recipes somewhere else. So that would change. But if you want recipes right now, go to the blog, and my website is Claudia's Mesa, www.claudiasmesa.com. And I also have a Facebook page, and it's Claudia's Mesa. So please come and join and like it. And feel free, under my website, there is contact. You can contact me with a question. Like if you hear something that I said here and you wanted some clarification, maybe on the rubs or any recipe, now just feel free to send me a note. It goes directly to my email address. Or you can email me directly at claudiasmesa@gmail.com. Make sure you don't put an apostrophe after the A. There's claudiasmesa.com, and it is in the website, so you can get it there as well.
Okay, let me just make sure. I'm going to spell it once. So Claudia's Mesa is just CLAUDIASMESA, right?
Exactly.
ClaudiasMesa.com, and then ClaudiasMesa@gmail.com. Okay, cool.
Yes.
And...
Yes. To any of the listeners that would listen, if they're ever in Bozeman, please come to the Farmer's Market. I do the Winter's Farmer's Market as well. At the Emerson Cultural Center is every other Saturday. We start this coming Saturday, and I'll be featuring some breakfast tacos made with local eggs, local bacon. We're doing corn patties, and I don't know if you met a gentleman, big, tall guy from Scandinavia. He and his partner, he's in business. His name is Dave Christensen. Apparently, they're from Big Timber area. Met him through Dave of Timeless. But they grow black corn, and they have beautiful, beautiful cornbread mix. So I will be making some black cornbread as well to go with the eggs on Saturday. So,
right?
So come on over to the farmer's market and support all the local growers and all the ranchers that are there and the producers. And if not at my market here in Bozeman, make sure you stop at wherever you live and support your farmers.
Yeah, because actually the majority of my listeners are actually in California. That's where the biggest chunk of them come from.
Oh,
probably
my
because
God,
California has so many more people. California and then Texas and then a variety of places. And then Montana's like sixth on the list. Yeah.
Okay.
And then all around the world. I have no idea how podcasting works, but it gets the message out there. So
wonderful.
But yeah, that's if you're in Bozeman, for sure, because we do get a lot of Montana listeners. Definitely go check out Claudia's Mesa at the farmer's market because her food is delicious. We were treated to your lentil salad, and then we had other good treats during the weekend. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So you've been cooking a lot. And then what else did I read on your website that I just, let me think really quick that I was going to ask you about. So it talks about, now, are you doing cooking classes in Montana too? And like, and you have a catering company, right?
Yeah.
Wait, let's not forget those things.
I have a cooking class. It's coming Tuesday. It's on tamales. So we are making the Bridger Cowboy pork tamales. We're making Andean chicken tamales. And we have a vegan tamale. So we are going to satisfy every appetite, from vegan all the way to carnivore as well. And finishing up with a dessert of pumpkin and chocolate tamales. So... And then in 2 weeks, I have a falling vegetarian cooking class as well. So it's pretty much, it's a vegan cooking class. And then I will have another cooking class in November, which is a Thanksgiving melting pot. And I have gotten recipes from various chefs in Bozeman that are German, Scandinavian, Chinese, and I'll have my Caribbean. And I will share how we all... celebrate Thanksgiving here in Montana with a little bit of recipes from our homes.
Awesome. Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. You've got to go. You've got a class you're teaching tonight?
No, I don't have a class that I'm teaching tonight, but I have an experiment cooking that I have to get to.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to check out our website, organicgardenerpodcast.com. That's just organicgardenerpodcast.com. And you'll see the links to everything that we've talked about today in the show notes page and all the other episodes there. You can easily search for people by name. You can download our ebook on organic gardening basics and subscribe to our newsletter for updates and just different things that are going on. Thanks for listening, and remember to grow.